had a good Sunday school hour this morning. And so I've got one up front. I need three more ushers. If you would make your way to the front so you could assist us in taking up our tithes and offerings this morning, we would appreciate it. I have an announcement. A lot of the ladies, maybe you've already received one of these. This is in your bulletin. This is an invitation to the brunch for Mother's Day here at the church on May the 5th at 10 a.m. It'll be over in the Outreach Center. If you did not get one of these, this is for all ladies. You do not have to be a mom. This is for all ladies, okay? So if you did not get one of these and you would like one, there are some, they're out in the foyer. Plus, there are some, I think, some young ladies here that may still have some. If you raise your hand, they'll bring you one. So this is just an invitation and a reminder for the Mother's Day brunch on May the 5th. All right?
Yes, singing, and want everybody to come out and have a good crowd for them.
All right. Roy and Amy Polly will be here this evening ministering in music. All right. I'm going to ask our ushers if they'll come and serve us. Good to have Kip back in town.
Yeah.
You always do. But if you... If you would lead us in prayer this morning and ask God's blessing on the offering, we'd appreciate it.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another beautiful day. Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us. And Lord, we just ask you to just be with the service today, be with the singers, the preachers. Lord, just be with everybody here. Lord, we just ask you that this money will be used for your good, Lord. And we just love you and we thank you. Jesus Christ, name of grace.
Amen. We want to welcome any visitors we have here with us today. We don't like to call you out and embarrass anybody, but if you're visiting with us, this is your first time here, we welcome you. Just make yourself right at home. All right. We're going to worship the Lord many different ways today. Choir will be singing here shortly. John Litton has an announcement that he needs to make.
All right, good morning. In the back in the foyer, you will find some nomination forms. It's the time of year where we do church nominations for the different positions that we have in administration of our church. The positions that are open for nominations are the chairman of the board of directors. That position we're taking nominations for. We also have the Sunday morning worship director, the Sunday evening worship director, and the Wednesday evening worship director. Those positions are in charge of making sure our services are in order as far as making sure there's singers and who's leading the service and playing the piano and leading the singing and different things like that. The head usher. We're taking nominations for the head usher position. That position is going to be in charge of coordinating the ushers, not only for when we take up offering, but also on the big crowd days, coming up front and making sure that everyone has a comfortable seat, also parking duties and different things like that on special events. We're also taking nominations for ushers and greeters. We need folks willing to be in the back and meeting our visitors and getting information from our visitors when they come in or leading them to where, showing them where they need to go in our facility for different churches or different classes, excuse me. The youth director position, the Sunday school superintendent, and the pioneer director on Wednesday nights. On Wednesday nights, we have a whole youth pioneer program for our kids. About 100 kids every Wednesday night come. It's a very, very good program. And that position, with all these positions have someone in them, so don't get me wrong. We're not kicking the whoever's in there out other than the chairman job, but but all the other positions, we're just taking nominations. But there's also three board of director positions. Those are three-year terms. And then we also have three junior board member direct positions, which are one-year terms. Junior board member has nothing to do with age. It just has to do with it's a one-year term, kind of testing the waters, so to say, if you want to be part of the board for a full three-year term. These nomination forms are in the back. Printed out about, I think there's about 90 copies or so in the back. Would love to get some nominations in, but I'll be honest with you, in the past 3 years or 4 years that I've been chairman, I've not gotten more than a handful of nominations back from the church. So the sheets are out there. Please use them. If you're going to nominate someone for a position, please go to them and talk to them about it. You know, we don't just want to nominate somebody for, and they don't have any idea, and then they get voted in, and all of a sudden now they're chairman of the board.
Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. So go talk to them and let them know if you're going to nominate them. The forms are in the back. Thank you.
I'm
keeps me in his hand when the storm is raging.
Yes.
He's such a good God. I mean, we could stand here all day and try to thank him and praise him for what he does for us, but we never get the story told.
Never. That's right.
I'm thankful that I serve a living God. I'm thankful that I serve one that's there all the time.
Amen.
I've been working outside a lot, and when I come in of the evening, I can't hardly move, but I get up the next morning and I'm ready to go. And I know it's only by God's strength, because I asked him. I said, Amen. Lord, he knows how well I like to be outside, how I like to work outside. And you know he gives me strength. He strengthens my back, my legs, and I've got arthritis about in my hands, but he takes care of my hands too. And only God can do that. And I just want to give him praise and glory this morning for all that he does for me. And thank him for always being there and being my friend and my Savior. Anything I need, that's what he is.
Amen.
I'm glad of that.
Amen.
This is a prayer for Bless y'all.
Bless y'all. Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord for our choir.
Bless you, God.
They sound this morning. I don't think it's my hearing aid, but they sound great.
Yeah, I'm really thankful for them. And, you know, it's wonderful. You know, a lot of churches don't have this, and we do. And I'm thankful for that. Y'all pray for me.
And I'd like to thank Connie for her smile. You know, it's good to stand up here and look back and see people smiling, but I don't know. There's something about when the choir sings, she just kind of
shines.
That's something to smile about.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
We're not on candy camera, but we can smile.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Storms of life are here. He'll keep us safe.
Guys, y'all are great this morning. I mean, I can hear all the different parts, and it's, the volume is up there where it's supposed to be. And you make me proud. I know I haven't been able to get up there like I want to do, but I'm going to tell you what, you guys sound really, really good this morning.
Yeah.
And it blesses my heart. Both you Pams ought to be proud of them this morning. They are good. Both of you should be proud. They're good.
Amen.
Bless your hearts.
Stand I miss up. You not being up here, Stan. I miss you. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Saturday night spirit service last night. Austin preached up there, so that was exciting. But the choir sounds great this morning. They've been singing some of my favorite songs. Pam, when she played during the offering, she played I Met the Master. And I'll tell myself, I've said this before probably, but when I was a kid, I thought that song was I'm Ed LeMaster. And I could never figure out who Ed LeMaster was out. But it didn't take me long to figure out what the words were really about. I met the Master. Because I did meet the Master. Around a campfire,
yeah,
when I was 8 years old, I met the Master. And how's the song go? A new day broke through all around me.
Yeah.
And I knew that night that I was saved. And I stayed up the whole rest of the night. I couldn't go to sleep because I knew that that something had changed. I knew that I had a heavenly home.
Yeah, amen.
And you say, well, what kind of burdens can you have at 8 years old? Well, you know, not knowing for sure where you're going to end up, that's a burden. And,
right,
and that was lifted that night. And he made a change in me. And it felt like nothing else you can, but you have to meet the Master. And I'm so glad that,
right,
I found out what the true words of that song were.
Right.
It has a special meaning. And then they say, you know, until the storm passes over, we have one that shields us from the storm and protects us from all the things that happen in our life.
Amen.
And, I'm just thankful this morning, and I'm glad that the Spirit's here this morning, and that's just a good day to be in church. And it's a good day to take part in church this morning. So I encourage you, if you have a thought or testimony, you give it. Or if you have a need, you come to the altar this morning.
Amen.
I met the Master too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've never been the same. You know, they said it's emotional. I don't care what they call it. But I've never been the same.
Yeah.
It was a brand new day. And the enemy said, you ain't got nothing. He said, you made a fool of yourself. You know what? I'm glad to be a fool for Jesus.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Somebody else.
Sometimes I feel like my life is in such a mess. I run like crazy. I work full time. I'm taking online classes for my graduate degree. And this week I go to Flatwoods. It's like my sixth week, and I have to present my portfolio in front of my colleagues, and you guys pray for me. But I just got a lot going on. The kids playing ball, and Danny's on, you know, shift schedule. We're not always here, but I think, you know, no matter what my kids do, I would still love them. They couldn't do anything that I wouldn't not love them. And I'm thankful that the Lord's that way with me. I know I mess up, and I fall short, but I know He loves me, and I appreciate Him. I'm thankful for Him.
Okay. 202, let's stand as we sing. Choir goes down. Fellowship with one another. Somebody around you haven't seen before. Introduce yourself.
Heard about his crony of his precious blood. anybody has a testimony, now would be a good time.
Having a thunderstorm in the sound system.
She was talking about being so nervous that she
sang. Going to sing. And I remember one time, Charles Stanley just got out of seminary. And he was teaching at this church, or preaching at this church. He was always so nervous, always so nervous, always so nervous. And he said, God, I shouldn't be this nervous because, you know, I've learned, I've been in seminary, I know all this stuff. So he said he'd come with us Sunday, and he said, no nerves, nothing. I was calm as can be, preached, felt good about it. He said, the worst sermon ever preached. The worst sermon ever preached. And I told Debbie, he said, there's not a time, and I know Ron or others, you're talking about coming forward and not being nervous up here. Yeah. There's not been a time that I haven't been because this is holy ground.
Yeah.
This is holy. This is a holy place,
yeah.
And you should be nervous.
Yeah.
You know, not to the point where you're
right.
Terrified, but there has to be some nerves. Are you nervous, Dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Beggar.
If I can get nervous and sing like that, I'll be doing good. Yeah, I want to. Well, anyway, Pastor Jimmy's coming to sing. Yeah, Pastor Jimmy's coming to sing. You nervous? He's coming to preach. But I just real quick, I'd like to ask every one of you this week, if you don't care, whisper a little prayer for me. I've been asked to sing a song next week, and I am struggling with that song. It's a contemporary song, and I'm not a contemporary song singer. But somebody asked me to do it, and I'm going to try my best. But I'm really struggling with it. I'm more Southern gospel. I just like to grab the mic and take off. And I can typically do that with a Southern gospel song. But with these contemporary songs, they just do so much weird stuff in them, and I'm trying to connect with that song. And it's a great song. It really is. We're having communion next week, and it's a great song for communion. I just wish the individual that asked me to sing would have asked somebody else. But anyway, I just want to do my best. When you get up here, if you've never done that, when you get up here, it's bad enough because you're nervous. But when you're trying to do a good job on what somebody's asked you to do, it doesn't matter what you all think. I just want to glorify Him, okay? So it may sound awful next week. I don't know, but I'm going to do my best. But just whisper a prayer that God would help me with that song this week. I've been working on it for about a month, and I am struggling. I'll just tell you, I'm struggling. But anyway, having said all that, now you have a responsibility. You got to pray for me. And Mark, I think it's Mark 9:23. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's Mark 9:23 says, "For those that believe, all things are possible." So it's possible that I can get that song right next week, but but you all are going to have to pray for me, all right? Charlie Fisher, would you stand and ask God's anointing upon the message this morning?
Thank you for another day of life. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you've given unto us. We thank you most of all for your Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of the living God. Father, now as we approach this point in our service, we pray that you would, your anointing, Father, would be upon Brother Jim, that you would anoint your word. Father, help us to have an open mind to hear your word and to understand, Lord, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Yeah. And right now, Lord, you take control through his lips of clay, Lord, that you might speak into your children. We ask these favors in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Someone else have a word of testimony? Testimony is still in order.
Ron, it's not a rap, is it?
No, I can rap.
Sometimes some people ask you to rap at Bible school, and I won't mention any names, Jennifer Nunley, but they'll ask you to rap, and sometimes you have a hard time saying no. So, thanks. So, if you got your Bibles with you, let's go to Psalm chapter 122. Psalm chapter 122. Hope all hearts are clear this morning. All hearts are free. If not, stand now or forever hold your peace. Psalm 122, just going to do the first verse. This is a famous verse, but says this: "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." So we know who wrote those words was David, and basically what he's trying to say is that it was a privilege for him to go to the house of the Lord, and he was excited about it. Now, I looked up the word privilege, and it says something regarded as a rare opportunity in bringing particular pleasure. Now, some of you sit here this morning and you say, "How can you have have pleasure in church?" But as David tells us, and as we know, there can be great pleasure that is given when you come into the house of the Lord. We can be very glad when they say, let's go to church. We can be very glad. Now, there's another word I wanted to go over, and this word is called obligated. I think that is a funny sounding word, obligated. But I looked at the definition of obligated, or obligate, or oblige. And it says this, to bind or compel someone, especially legally or morally. Other words for obligated are required, constrained, or forced. Sometimes we feel obligated to go to church. Sometimes we feel required to go to church. Sometimes we feel constrained or forced to go to church. But it doesn't have to be that way, is what I'm trying to say today. What we're going to get into is that it doesn't have to be that way. Imagine if David had said this, I felt obligated when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Doesn't sound very good, does it? I felt constrained when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But let's be honest, a lot of times it's a fine line between feeling obligated and feeling privileged when it comes to church. Let's be honest this morning, because we all go through those times where sometimes it is an obligation, or it does feel like an obligation to go to church. That's normal. That happens. I hope it's normal, because it's happened to me. If not, then I'm not normal. But there's sometimes when you do feel obligated to go to church. But the problem is that you don't want to stay in that place in your life where church is a burden unto you. You don't want to stay in that place in your life where it's a burden to go to church, where you feel like, well, what's the point of going through all of this? What's the point of getting all this together and going? You don't want to stay that way. But sometimes it's a fine line between feeling obligated and privileged. And so let's go to the one who wrote the words, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because we look at David's life, and you'll see that even in David's life, there was a time when he felt obligated to go into the house of the Lord. That's right, the one who said, I was glad to go into the house of the Lord, wasn't always glad to go into the house of the Lord. You see, when he started out with such zeal. He started out with such excitement for fighting the Lord's battles. We know that when David comes into the picture, he's the one that is excited, or the one that is looking forward to going into the battle with Goliath. You see, Goliath had come, the Philistines had come, and they were going to get in a great battle. And on this ridgetop were all the Philistines, and on this ridgetop was all the Israelites. And the two armies were there, and there was a valley in between them, the Valley of Elah. And so there was this valley in between them. And we know how this story goes. Goliath went down into the valley, and he made a challenge to the children of Israel, to the warriors that were there. And he made a challenge to the king, who was King Saul, and he said, you know, choose someone to come down and fight me this day, and whoever wins that battle will win the battle that we're here to fight. And so we know how the story goes, that the children of Israel saw Goliath. They saw his size. They knew his reputation. They knew his brothers. They knew all about who this man was. And they knew that he had a reputation for being a fearful warrior, and one that was undefeated in battle. And so we know that when they saw, and then when they heard this challenge, they were afraid. And Saul, who was the king, he was afraid. And so nobody wanted to go up against Saul, who was challenging not only the Israelites, but he was challenging and he was mocking their God. And so we know how the story goes. David was sent by his father to go give food to his brothers. And if you were at the service last night, Austin talked a little bit about this. And so David was sent to basically bring food to his brothers. And when David got there, he heard about the challenge of Goliath. And he looked around and he saw all of these people who were scared and weak and who were faint of heart. And he looked around and he said, why are we allowing this to happen? He looked around and he said, why are we allowing someone to challenge the God that we believe in? You see, he was full of, of belief. He was full of the zest to follow God. And so something within him, you know, just really wanted to go. And he felt that he was led to go and to face Goliath. And his brothers, we know the story, his brothers told him to go away. They said, you know, don't bother us with this. You're crazy. Don't, you know, this isn't your battle. Just go home. But David he considered it a privilege to fight for the Lord. As Austin pointed out last night, he looked back into his past and he saw the victories that God had brought him through when he fought the lion. The victory that God had brought him through when he fought the bear. And so he knew that the God who fought those battles was going to be in this battle. And so we know that David found it a privilege to fight on behalf of God. He said, who is this Philistine that comes before us and defies the God of Israel? And so at one point, we know that he was excited about serving the Lord. And so it goes on and we hear all the stories about how he played the music and how he wrote the Psalms for God and how David was considered a man after God's own heart. But we also go through and we know from the Bible that David went through a period where he felt obligated as the king of Israel. You see, I'm sure at one point when he was anointed king of Israel, there was an excitement there. There was a vision of what the king of Israel, what he should do as the king of Israel and how he could lead the Israelites in their kingdom. And I'm sure there was an excitement. And he counted it a privilege to do that. But there came a point in David's life where the office of king, the role as a king, he felt obligated. And he no longer had that zest. He no longer had that excitement to go out and fight the battles. And so he stayed behind when his men were out fighting. And there was a point in his life where he felt obligated to go to the house of the Lord. You say, how do you know that? It doesn't say that. But what we know is that David fell into a life of sin. We know that David had a great fall. We know that David began to serve his own lust and to go and to follow that which his eyes desired, which was the girl Bathsheba. And we know from the story that he had a great fall and that he plunged into a life of sin, so much so that he had this affair with Bathsheba. And then he went and he tried to cover it up. We know the story. He tried to cover up his tracks because she was going to give birth. And her husband was away. And the king was the one who was going to be the father of this child. And so he set in motion this plan to have the father killed. And that's what happened. And so we know that he had fallen into this life of sin where he was in a dark place. And you say, well, how do you know that he felt obligated to go to church? You see, he still went to the house of the Lord, but he went because he felt obligated. He didn't go because there was pleasure in going. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and the lust of the flesh at the same time. You can't serve the world and God at the same time. So you either have pleasure in one and obligation in the other, or vice versa. And so at this time in his life, David was finding pleasure in his flesh. And he was finding pleasure in doing the things that he wasn't supposed to do. And so because his pleasure was in that, his pleasure was not in serving God. So at this time, he wasn't glad to be in the house of the Lord, but he was just going through the motions. People around him probably saw it. They probably noticed that it wasn't the same David that was there that he was before. It wasn't the same one praising God that was there before, because he was burdened with this life that he had been leaving. He was living a double life. And so he didn't feel right in the presence of God because of his shame and the things that he had done. You say, how do you know that? Because we know what it's like to live in sin. We know what it's like to follow the world. We know what it's like to follow our own desires, and to be in church doesn't feel good because you're just going through the motions. You're coming to church, you're feeling obligated to be there. You're coming to church, you're feeling obligated by your position or by whatever it is that you're doing. And your heart is not there to serve the Lord if you're serving yourself. And so we know that this is how David felt as he went along. And we know that he was uncomfortable with the truth. He was uncomfortable being told about his life of sin. And you see, God did a great thing. And I love how this story plays out and how he sent, how God got through to David. You see, he sent Nathan. He sent the prophet Nathan to talk to David. And Nathan told David about this story about this awful person. And David heard this story about this awful person, and he said, that person is just the worst, and he needs to be sentenced to death. And then Nathan basically told David and said, hey, in this story, you're the awful person. You're the one that this story is about. You're the one who did this great sin in the eyes of the Lord, and you're the one who's guilty. And by doing that, he was able to reach David. And David's heart was pricked. And David knew that God knew what was going on. David knew that other people knew, that Nathan knew what was going on. And when he was living this double life, when he was not serving God, when he was in this time of sin in his life. And so he felt terrible. And we know how the rest of the story goes. He was punished for that sin. He was punished for what he had done. And he repented. And ultimately, he became glad again to be in the house of the Lord. But he had to get to that point where he saw his own need. He had to get to that point where he saw his own condition. Now, sometimes we're like David. It's hard when somebody tells us what we're doing wrong. When somebody, if Nathan would have gone to David and said, you know what, I've noticed some things about you, that you're doing this, and you're spending more time doing this, and you're looking at this person this way, and you've done all these things. You know what David would have said? He would have said, you don't know what it's like to be king. You don't know what it's like to be me. And basically, he would have rattled off all kinds of excuses for the things that are going on in his life. And in that regard, we're the exact same way. Somebody comes to us and says, you know what, I noticed that you haven't been yourself lately. I've noticed that you've kind of been going through the motions. I've noticed that you haven't been excited about serving the Lord or excited about church as you used to be. And we get defensive and we say, you know, I just got all this stuff going on and you don't know what it's like to be in this position. That's normal. But that's what happens when we feel obligated to be in church. That's what happens when we serve ourselves instead of serving God. When we begin to, our eyes begin to look this way at other things instead of being there on God. And so we began to make excuses. But what I like is that God made a way to where he couldn't make any excuses. He condemned him and then he said, hey, you're the person that's doing this. And so that's the way that God reached him. Sometimes God reaches us in those ways. We've been told by other people the things that are going on in our life, and we just dismiss it. But then something will happen where he shows us, and you say, I don't recognize that person that I've become. I don't recognize, you know, this way that I've been worshiping, because it's just not me. It doesn't feel right. And so sometimes God will show us those things. But a lot of times it's a fine line between feeling obligated to serve the Lord and feeling a privilege to serve the Lord. But it's all within ourselves. We like to kid ourselves. You know, the Bible says that we deceive ourselves, and I do. I believe that we deceive ourselves all the time. I believe that we deceive ourselves all the time. And we like to tell ourselves that it's because of the outside actions that cause us to do the things we do. It's because of our circumstances that cause us to do the things that we do. And that's just not true. It's us that cause us to do the things that we do. It's our actions. It's our decisions. It has nothing to do with what happens around us, because those things can't control you unless you allow it to control you. But it's us. And sometimes we need a change of perspective. I truly believe that you can have two people in the exact same situation, and one of them will look at it in the best positive light, and one of them will look at it in the most negative light. In the exact same circumstance. You'll have people who grow up the exact same way. One will become real successful, and one won't. One will become real spiritual, and one won't. And you say, well, what's the difference? The difference is, it's in your heart. And it's how you look at things in your life. One time, I do coyote hunting. I like to go out and coyote hunt, and that we go at nighttime. So I got this night vision thing. I read up on it, and it was supposed to be the greatest, you know, real sharp, real good to see at night. And I bought it, and I took it out, and I was excited. And I went out and on the darkest night, and I went out to see what I could see, try to find some deer or something and look around. And I went out, and I turned it on, and I couldn't see anything. It was just like a big, like, glowing blob. And I kept looking, and there was like a focus thing right here, and I kept focusing. It wasn't getting any better. And so I thought, I need to return this thing because it doesn't work, and it's awful. And it's not what I wanted, and it's not what I thought that I was going to get. But you know, finally, I read up on it, and there was a focus that I was missing, and it was stuck. And so I just had to push a little bit harder to get it to focus. But once I got it in focus, I mean, it was clear as can be. And so you say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying a lot of times we get stuck out of focus. A lot of times we get stuck seeing things one way when they could be a lot clearer in our life. A lot of times it just takes perspective to look at things a little bit differently. David had to have perspective. And what it took was that conversation with Nathan, for Nathan to come into his life and say, and put things in perspective and say, listen, you've been living a life of sin, but God wants you to come back and to serve him. And at that moment, that focus became unstuck. And David began to see clearly. And he saw himself clearly. And you see, the Bible, a lot of times when you read the Bible, it causes you to look at yourself clearly. Flaws and all. That's why people don't like to look at it a lot of times. Because it shows you, it's the most true mirror that you could ever look into. You ever go sometimes and you look in a mirror just a certain way, and the lights are really bright, and you look at yourself and you're like, oh. I'm used to looking at myself in a darker way. Or you see a picture of yourself and it's like, I've never looked at myself that way. But sometimes when we get into his word, when we sit in his services, when we listen to the sermon, when we listen to the songs or the testimony, a lot of times it will put into focus the need that we have in our life. And so it's at that time that we must follow what God has us to follow. There's a poem that was written by William Wordsworth. I'm just going to read some of that to you this morning. And the poem is called The Character of the Happy Warrior. The Character of the Happy Warrior. It says this, who is the happy warrior? Who is he that every man in arms should wish to be? It is the generous spirit who, when brought amongst the tasks of real life, hath wrought upon the plan that pleased his boyish thought, whose high endeavors are an inward light that makes the path before him always bright, who with a natural instinct to discern what knowledge can perform, is diligent to learn, abides by this resolve and stops not there, but makes his moral being his prime care. Who, doomed to go in company with pain and fear and bloodshed and miserable train, turns this necessity to glorious gain. In other words, somebody who is meant to fight a battle, who looks at that battle as a privilege, who knows that that they might lose their life? Or who knows that they might sacrifice great things? But they go in such a way that they count it a privilege to go through that. And it goes on to say, who, whether praise of him must walk the earth forever and to noble deeds give birth, or he must fall to sleep without his fame and leave a dead, unprofitable name, finds comfort in himself and in his cause, and while the mortal mist is gathering, draws his breath in confidence of heaven's applause. This is the happy warrior. This is he that every man in arms should wish to be. And that is what God calls us to be, happy warriors for Christ. He calls us to be happy disciples of Christ. You see, when he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he said this, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, you can either look at that two ways. You can look at that as a requirement. You can look at that as an obligation. You can look at that as something that you're morally bound to do. But that's not what God calls us to look at. That's not how he calls us to look at things. You could look at that as a privilege to carry your cross the way that Jesus carried his cross. And you say, I'm just not there. You can get there. Trust me. Trust me. This can be an exciting thing for you. If it's not, you're just not doing it right. If it's not exciting for you, then you're not doing it the right way. You're not looking at it the right way. Because it can be an exciting life. It can be something that fulfills you. Something that you look forward to. Something that is not obligatory. It's not an obligation. It's a privilege. Amen. And it all depends on your perspective. If you're in things right now and you feel obligated to do them in church, figure out a way to do it a different way. Figure out what it is. You see, whenever things are going wrong in our life, we know about it. Whenever something goes wrong in your car, there's a light that comes on, a check engine light. And that light comes on and it tells you that something in your life or something in your car has gone haywire. And so what you do is you need to go to the manual. You need to go when the check engine light comes on in your life, you need to go to the Bible and look and see what it is that's out of whack. So that you have clarity. So that you have understanding. So that you can pinpoint what it is that's not going right in your life. And I promise if you look, you'll find it. But then we don't stop there. We take it to somebody who knows what to do about that situation. With your car, you might look at the manual and you might say, well, this is what's wrong with it. But you want to go to a professional that gets it fixed. And so when the check engine light comes on in your life, you need to go to the Bible and see what it is that's a problem. See what it is that's going wrong. But you need to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my problem. And I need you to fix it. This is my problem, and I need you to make it right. I want to feel joy to worship you. I don't want to feel like a job, but I want it to feel like a passion that I have. Because a lot of times the things that we find as obligations, we miss them when they're gone. We miss them when they're gone. It used to be an obligation for me to go to the barber. It was like, man, my hair is growing again. I got to go to the barber. It's Saturday morning. I've got other things I need to do, but I got to go to the barber. Now, I wish I had to go to the barber on a Saturday morning. I take my son to the barber and I'm like, I wish I could sit up here and get my hair cut. But you can't cut something that's not there. That's a different sermon. But you don't miss it until We need to count these things as a privilege to come to church. You should be excited about your spiritual walk with Christ. When David wrote those words, that's what he meant. That's what he felt. And I'm not sure if he wrote those before he fell or after, but I tend to think that it was after God restored that passion in his life. And he wrote those words that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're going to go through those times, those peaks and valleys. I don't know anybody that stays up here the whole time. I really don't. And that's because they don't, okay? If you think they do, they're just hiding it really well. They're just hiding it. But we all go through these peaks and valleys. But you know what Jesus said? He said, I'm the lily of the valleys. I preached on that one time. We always think it's lily of the valley, but that's not what it says. I'm the lily of the valleys. That means that there's multiple valleys that you're going to go through in your life, but those lilies are always there. That you can look forward to knowing that four valleys ahead in your life, that God is still going to be there. Five valleys ahead. Or if it's the deepest valley you've ever been in, that's right up ahead. You know that Jesus is there in the midst of that valley. And he's there for us. Examine yourself. As we get a song of invitation, think about your life. Think about your spiritual life. Not just here at church, but at home. Your prayer life. Your time with the Lord. Is it an obligation? Do you feel obligated to talk to God in the morning? Or is it a passion that you have? That you look forward to that communion with him. It should be that way, and it can be that way. And if it's not, it's not because of him. It's not because he just checked out and he's on vacation right now. But it's because we're not doing it right. We're not doing it right. And if you're not doing it right, then you need to find out how to do it right. And if you don't know how to do it right, then start reading the Bible. Start listening. That's what church is for. That's what revival's for. But it's not enough just to go and listen. Because you can come and you can lead the same way. There's two types of people who come into church. There's ones who come and lead the same way. And there's ones who come and they leave uplifted. And they come and when the service starts, they begin to be uplifted. And they begin to maybe they come in hardened by the world. Maybe they come in carrying that day's burden. Maybe they come in saying, you know what? I really didn't want to be here tonight because today was pretty bad. But those type of people, when they come and they allow God to move into their life, and when they move, and when the Spirit moves them, when they move, then that's when God will begin to bless you in your life. And for them, it becomes a privilege and it becomes a necessity where I got to have my church. I got to have that service. I need my Wednesday nights to get through the whole week. I need revival to go. And when you really get into it, then you start going to other people's revivals. And you start going to other churches' revivals. And you just feel that Spirit. That's when you know that you are seeking him. That's when you know that you're truly glad when they say unto you, let us go to the house of the Lord. And it's not one of those has to things, but it's one of those get to things. I've done enough talking this morning. They're going to play a song of invitation. If you have a need, any kind of need at all, it's not an obligation to come to this altar. It's a privilege to come to this altar. It's an opportunity to come. It's a positive thing. It doesn't mean that you're broken. It means that you have an opportunity to serve the Lord with gladness. As we get a song of invitation, if you feel a need to come, we encourage you to come this morning.
Let's stand and sing.
play, there's a name of someone that I want to say. His name is Simon of Cyrene. I hope I'm saying it right. Simon of Cyrene. And Simon, for a couple days, let's just say this. Simon was the one that was chosen to carry Jesus' cross when he couldn't carry it. Physically carry the cross when Jesus was so beaten that he couldn't do it anymore. His name was Simon of Cyrene. And so for a couple of days, I'm sure he felt a burden of carrying that cross, because it wasn't a good thing. He was targeted. He's probably fearful of his life. He probably thought, you know, they killed him. Why are they? They might come for me next. And I'm sure physically, he was probably beat up physically. Probably didn't feel that well. Maybe had some guilt because they had just crucified Christ. And he was kind of a part of it. And he was there. And so for 2 days, he probably felt really bad about carrying that cross. But on the third day, when Christ was resurrected, on the third day when Jesus came out of the grave, on the third day when the news began to spread that Jesus Christ was alive, carrying that cross became a privilege for Simon of Cyrene. That was a privilege. When they talked about Jesus, you know, Simon could say, I carried his cross. And I'm sure he became a happy warrior for Christ and said, you know what? I helped him. I was there and I bore the cross and I helped him that day. See, it switched for him. It became a symbol of privilege. And now his name is honored among the world. People know that Simon gladly carried the cross for Christ. The same with the disciples. They bore that cross the rest of their life. They went to their graves. They went to their death proudly serving Christ. It was a privilege for them to preach and to go to these places, and a privilege for Paul to preach the name of Jesus Christ. And it's a privilege for us today. But you just got to look at it that way. You got to know that you're privileged. One of the definitions said that it's a special circumstance or a special right that you have. If you follow Christ today, you have a special right to bear his cross and to do his work. And for that, it is a privilege. We're glad for everybody here this morning. Bless you out. Always open for him, wasn't it? Bless you.
I appreciate it.
Bless you, Al. Al, you talked earlier about being saved. How many years ago was it that you got saved? 60 years. And Pastor Al, if you don't know this, Pastor Al counts it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. 60 years you've been serving God. It's been a great place. Great place to be this morning. I ask you to come back tonight as we have the special singers. And so we'll pray for them, be much in prayer for that. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. I'm going to ask Pastor Aaron, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house. Lord, we thank you for everyone that had a desire to come today. And Lord, for those that were glad to come. We pray, Lord, that you just help us all to have that desire to be in your house every opportunity that we have. Go with us now as we go to our homes and bring us back the next appointed service. In Jesus' precious name we pray.